Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, radio audience. Once again, this is Pastor Olu Starling with the Anointed Word Biblical Ministry. I thank God for allowing me to be able to come into your homes today. I am blessed just to be here to proclaim the Word of God. And today, praise God, is a new day, but it's a day that the Lord has made. And I hope that you are rejoicing and be glad in that rejoice. I thank God once again for you and those that are listening and have been tuning in to the broadcast. It's just a blessing to know, praise God, that the word, praise God, is going forth. Because to God, see the promise, he promised that his word will not go out void. And today, praise God, let us start, praise God, with a prayer. And Father, I'm praying today, praise God, for those, Lord, that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. Father, if there's anyone listening today that do not know you as their Savior, Father God, you're saying, come as you are, I'll in no wise cast you out. Come, just come. He that will, let him come. And God will not cast you out, because the word of God declares that if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. You need a Savior in this world today. You need a Lord that will carry you to eternity. Amen. This is what it's all about, people. It's not about, praise God, who's saying what, how somebody sound anointed. It's about giving the word of life. He said, I am the bread of life. Eat me, and you shall live. Amen. Father God, open up, praise God, avenues that they may know to seek after you, that you may become their God, and they become your people. In Jesus' name, we do ask this prayer. Amen, amen, amen again. But today, praise God, we're going to start out, praise God. We're still on a journey. We have not gotten off our journey, praise God. We're still traveling. We're still going, praise God. We're still on this journey because this journey, praise God, is going to take us, praise God, where we are to be, praise God, and praise God, be in that heavenly with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, praise God, I want to talk about journeying into the spirit world. Yes. Let's journey into the spirit world. Now, I know, praise God, this may sound the spirit world yet, because simply, my friend, you are a spirit. We are spirit, soul, and a body. Yes. But today we're going to talk about journeying to the word of the spirit word with God. And the first thing we want to talk about is we could do that and journey into the spirit world with God. Why can God meet all our needs? Why God can meet all our needs? This is some things we have to understand because God told me, and he said to you, he said it to me, that I will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory, which is also in Jesus Christ. Now, you can find that, praise God, in Philippians 4:19. But praise God, he says, why God can meet all our needs? Well, as we first begin, praise God, in a very, this is, like I said, this is a very exciting journey. We're going to journey into a spiritual world. But you see, it's the real, is it the real world? See, the real world is invisible world. It's all around us. A world that is inhabited by God. It's inhabited by God and Satan and angels and demons. But it also is called the world of heaven and hell. Now, through the physical world, praise God, is in which we live, it's often called the real world. But it is not. It is not the real world. See, the physical world is temporal and constantly changing, while the spirit world is eternal and unchanging. Now, how do we come to that conclusion? It's simply because, praise God, we go to the book in 2 Peter 10:3. Write these scriptures down, 2 Peter 3:10. What it tells us, praise God, is it describes the fate of the temporal physical world. The world like the United States of America. Yes. We're talking about the world in general, everywhere, the world. And it said, and the word says that the heavens will disappear with a loud noise, and everything on earth will be what? Destroyed by fire. What he's saying to us, praise God, is this. One day we will die and leave these temporal tents, or our earthly units, or our earthly bodies, called bodies, and we will go to one or two places in the spirit world. Now, until that day, an understanding of the spirit world will help us to live a better life in our physical world. You get what I'm saying? And we must now, praise God, come to the conclusion we need to know a little bit more about what is the spirit world. When you say spirit world, people look at it, Eva, Diva, the spirit world. We're going to talk about that today. And the spirit world should begin with at least the originals of the Spirit of God. But there are five things I want to talk to you today about. There's things we need to consider about God if we are going to understand how we can meet, how he can meet all of our needs, and it begins with where it begins. Now, first we're going to talk about the God as a Trinity. Trinity means three. Trinity. And how can he make us a new person? Now, see, God in the Trinity, does it, which means three in one. This is perhaps one of the most puzzling words in the Bible, in the doctrine. But it's the center truth of the Christian faith, okay? Now, if you try to explain the Trinity, I heard one person say you would lose your mind. But I need to tell you, my friend, but if you deny it, you will lose your soul. Mm-hmm. Yes, because the Bible clearly teaches there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Yet, one God. See, that's what they say. You'll lose your mind, but you'll lose your soul if you deny it. Praise the Lord. But that is found in Deuteronomy 6:4. Now, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. No, it is not. But it is true, and it is seen, praise God, in passages and throughout, praise God, the biblical teaching. There are three personalities of the Trinity, and they manifest at the same time. But you see, this is what happened when Jesus was baptized, according to Matthew 3:16-17. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God came down like a dove, lighting up on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." This happened when he was being baptized. Now we also find, praise God, as three persons in the Trinity, the Godhead, that links together in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Listen, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now that was the Great Commission, also referring to the Trinity, which is found in Matthew 28:19, okay? So we want you to get understanding with that, because we're talking about the Trinity in the spirit world, praise God. But see, many men of intelligence believe, praise God, in the Trinity. But then it says this, that he can reply that I don't prefer fully to understand the arithmetic of the heaven now. No, that's a good phrase, but the arithmetic of heaven, but what does Jesus say about the arithmetic of heaven? Because he says this, he and the Father are one. Yes, we can understand that all of us, you know, we're so educated because we think we know it all. But you got to understand the Word of God declares that his thoughts are not as our thoughts, but his thoughts are much higher than we are. See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but yet they are three but one. Good Lord, thank you, Father. Each is God's individual, and together they are one true God of the Bible. All three are called God in the Bible. For in Galatians 1:1, we find the phrase is God the Father. After the resurrection, why did Thomas say to Jesus in John 20:28, my Lord and my God? When Ananias sold the land and gave a portion to the proceeds to the church, yet pretending he gave it all to Peter, he said, you have lied to, not the preacher, but to the Holy Ghost. In Acts 5:3. You see, because that was referring to the Holy Spirit, Peter said, you have lied to men. He didn't say you have lied to men, but to God. So many try to explain, praise God, the Trinity with the illustration, but, you know, they fail because they want to be a little bit more than God. You know how that is with Americans and people of color, people of us, and we want to be more smarter than God. For example, you know, a man can be a Trinity. Yes, he can be a Trinity. Why he can be a Trinity? I used to tell people this all the time. We're all Trinity. When you was born, praise God, you was a baby girl. As you got older, you became a teenager. After you went from the teenage stage, you went into being a lady. God says, as far as you're going to go, three in one, you are still the same person. Hallelujah. He can be a son, a husband, and a father. But he's still the same person. The Trinity.
So we have to understand, and we might say some have it like the trend is like an egg. That is a yolk, the white in the shell. But it's still the egg, you see? Or is it like H2O? Can we divide the ice, the water, and the steam? No. Or how shall we illustrate the fall, you know, miserably short, because there is not a person, an egg, or element in the world like our God. There is something in this world with which to compare him, and that is why he is beyond human comprehension. The Trinity really reveals how the Father can be on the throne in heaven, and at the same time the Father can die on the cross and give us and take on the sins of man. And in our hearts are God, the Holy Spirit, and as we accept Christ. As God the Father in heaven, he initiated his plan and relationship. And this is why, praise God, we find and reveal the truth in John 6:38. He said he came down from heaven to do the will of the one who sent him, not his own will. But when he came down, but we also understand that the throne was not left unattended. To have a relationship with the Father, we have to have a place to live. We have to have a place to live in us. Then when sin messes up God's plan, God sent his son. Because the Bible stated that he was even mad that he made man. He was ashamed that he made man in the book of Genesis. He wanted to destroy man. But God said if you destroy them, you will destroy yourself. Why? Because he said you made them in your image. And if you destroy them, then you destroy yourself. So he had to. So he said, well, I got to do something because they had separated themselves from God. They were totally out of control. And God said, I looked upon him. I could not stand to look upon man because his sins were so great. You understand? And then when sin messes up God's plan, he sent God the Son to restore the relationship. Now let people know how to become a Christian. They must do two simple things. Repent of their sin and believe. There it is again, my people. That's the word repent. It's in there. Yes. He said repent of their sins and believe the gospel. What is a Christian? If we are Christians, then we have faith in Christ. The second thing, praise God, he wants us to do, he said five things. He said, I want you to what? We should fellowship with Christ. Paul wrote for me to live in Christ, which means Christ has literally living through him. Christian is not a religion, people. Christianity is not a religion. People has taken it so far that it has become religious, and there's nothing Christian about it. It's Christian. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. As Christians are, we are sometimes in danger of losing Jesus, meaning the oneness, okay? The oneness of God's word. Jesus is a person, not a book or impersonator force. The Bible is God's holy, inspired word by God. It doesn't want us to have a relationship. Listen to me carefully. It does not want us to have a relationship with the Bible. He wants us to use the Bible to learn how to have a personal relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it reveals the truth. And we have to understand, praise God, when these things take place, and he reveals the truth to us, praise God. So when we learn, praise God, what the word of God is saying to us, then we realize, praise God, that we have to, praise God, follow what? The book. We have to follow the book. So when you go to that scripture, praise God, First Corinthians 9:1, and then you'll see what the word of God is saying to us. We have to understand, praise God, that God's word does not lie. It does not lie. Praise the Lord. And it said the fellowship with the Lord is what we are searching for, what we are yearning for. We are yearning for the fellowship of God, that we may, praise God, be in his grace, that we, praise God, will know, praise God, that we must have a relationship with him, that we can, praise God, go, praise God, when he is trying to send us, and that we are there, praise God, that we are there in the spirit, and we are doing the thing that God has asked us to do. We must have a fellowship, and Christ requires the right place. There's a place that can lead us away from Christ, but there's a place also that can draw us closer to him. Yes, we must learn to do that. Fellowship with Christ sometimes requires pain. Yes, it does. It requires pain. Our fellowship with Christ most often brings excitement and joy. Yet there are other times when it involves pain and suffering. Paul talks about it, praise God, in Philippians 3:10. He talks about, praise God, how that pain comes. In 3:10, he tells us about it. And what we must do, praise God, to get closer to him. We must fellowship with Christ requires his patience. Yes, the fellowship with Christ, Christ is an automated, he's not an automated, he's not a process, he's a process that takes time. As already mentioned, the process can be painful. It can be painful, but if you be patient and wait upon the Lord, you're going to endure. The third thing God wants us to do is to fellowship. We should fellowship what? After Christ. That's awesome. What do you mean by that, Father? What are you saying to me? It is this very dramatic experience with the blinding light from heaven and this automated voice speaking to him. You see, Paul was one that God had to break him down to build him up. He had to break him down to build him up to get him ready for the work he had for him to do. And on his way to Damascus, God blinded him, praise God, and knocked him from his horse and wanted to let him know, Paul, why? He said, Paul, why could it's hard for you to get against the priest? Why persecuting by me? Why are you persecuting, cruel me, Paul? You don't know who I am. But then after that experience, he got to know who Jesus was, and God could use him in the work of the Lord. He was able to praise God. He picked him up, set him up, and dressed him up. And he got him, praise God, well, he can do the work of the Lord. That's the purpose, praise God, of us today. We got to go, praise God, into the spirit. You see, the Bible said he that worship Christ must do it in spirit and in truth. Praise God, we're worshiping up him. But what are we worshiping up? We're worshiping and praise God in our flesh, and we're putting our flesh before God. We must put the spirit. We must come to God in the spirit. Now, praise God, we go to this part, praise God. We must first have a relationship with him, know him in the spirit. Do not try to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in your flesh. Because one thing we know that Romans says, praise God, the book of Romans chapter 8, for the flesh is an enemy to God. He's an enemy. So we must kill the flesh. Before the flesh kill us. Yes. But today, praise God, we're going to continue, praise God, in the journey to the spiritual world. Now, there's a spirit that wants to destroy you. In this world, there's a spirit whose sole purpose is to hurt and destroy us. And who is that? The Bible declared, he said, the devil only comes for the three things, to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus wants to give us life to the flesh. The devil wants to destroy you. Doesn't care who you are. Doesn't care what you wear, what you look like, how much money you got, how big you are, where you stay, what's your nationality. He does not care nothing about any of that. Because guess what? The devil will use you and then he will destroy you. That's his purpose. Satan is more than just a sonification of evil. He's a real spirit being. We must understand if we are to keep him from destroying God's plan in our lives. The problem with us today, we don't know who the devil is. Amen. Amen. Speaking good. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know who the devil is. You see, the Bible says his sole purpose is to come to hurt and destroy you. He is the second most powerful being in all the creation. I bet you don't know he doesn't have no power. You can say what you want to say, he ain't got no power. The devil, that's a lie. Oh, he got some power. He just don't have as much power as God. You see. So we see all these little idiotic, silly things and think it's cute. But no, baby, the devil have power. Do you realize he was once there where we're trying to go? He was once in heaven. We haven't been there. He was there. He know. He know the word. But the difference is he can't live it. And the Bible says he believed, but he trembled. You better recognize. The Bible most called him Satan. He hates God because since God is more powerful than he is, he can't hurt God directly. So what does he do? He goes to things that's close to God. That's God's children, God's people. So he hurt God indirectly by hurting people God loves. Satan is more than just what I said, a son of purification. See, baby, he's evil, of evil. Boo, don't get that crazy. Don't get that there. Oh, he has a red horns on and long hair. Sweetie, no, baby. He's a real being just like you and I. He is here. He's not in hell. Quit putting him in hell. Send him someplace he don't live. And saints of God have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. When they pray, oh, devil, you go back to the pit of hell. What are you going to send him to the pit for? He's not in the pit, sisters and brothers, ministers. He's not in a pit. He's loose right now among us. He's not in a pit. That's why he's laughing at him and looking at him and laughing. That's why they sending me to an address that I don't even live. He's not in a pit. God will put him in the pit, not you. That's what we say. We say things. In order to come to understand the spirit who wants to destroy us, we need to answer these questions. Who is Satan? What is he like? From where did Satan come? And what does Satan do? Oh, my God. Who is he? Who is this thing we talk about, we call the devil is, the devil this, the devil that? Who is he? You can't fight the enemy if you don't know him. That's why Uncle Sam trained his men so they can be aware of who the enemy is, what he dressed like, his tax and everything. While God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives, the devil hates us and has a destructive plan for our lives. So now how does God clarify the difference in the two plans in John 10:10? He tells you quickly, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and give it to the fullest. Satan wants to steal my blessings. God might want to give me life. He wants to kill us and destroy all our wonderful plans God had for us. He has an awesome power to fulfill his diabolical plan, but unlike God, he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent, omniscient, nor is he omnipresent. He's not. However, Satan is very powerful. Don't be fooled. He's very powerful. And we must respect that power. How is Satan's tremendous power revealed in June 9 and 1? When he was arguing with the devil over Moses' body, you better listen to this. See, when somebody needs to go out of here, he sent his demons to fight over that soul, and God have him standing there as well. He said the devil was arguing over Moses' body. The archangel Michael did not dare to make accusation against the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord, not me, Satan, but the Lord rebuke you. Michael, the archangel, the chief angel, the most powerful angel in the heavens. But the incident described in Jude 9 is not mentioned in the Old Testament, so we have no record of it, but nevertheless, the Spirit guides Jude's selection of the fact. Now, that's right. He gives him the selection of the fact. Despite his angelical power and position, even Michael refused to take on the devil. But he had to know what weapon to use against the devil. We also should respect the power of Satan and have a healthy relationship for the tremendous power, the weapon of our adversary. Don't stand there like, oh, child, listen to me carefully. This devil is not playing. He's not playing with us. He's not cutting no corners with us. He's coming to take us out. He don't care nothing about you, your children, your mama, your daddy, your sister, the pope, the preacher, the evangelist, the apostle. He do not care. Satan is a person because he is constantly referred to in the Bible with personal pronouns. What are you saying here? The most frequent name in the Bible is Satan, which is used more than 16 times in our Old Testament and 36 in the New, which is a total of 52 times. That means he wants you to get it. The name Satan is a Hebrew word that means adversary. Adversary, The second most common name is the devil, which is used also 35 times. The translated Greek word is diabolikos. That means slanders. Just as God uses his own name to reveal who he is and what he is like, so God reveals the nature of Satan through this name. over 30 names and titles are given to this superior evil spirit. Okay? Now, you can look it up. The scripture, you can look it up. The Templar is found in Matthew 4 and 3. Beelzebub is found in Matthew 12 and 27. Father of Lies in John 8 and 44. The Prince of the World, John 14, 30. John 7, 15, the Evil One. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, God of this age. Ephesians 2 and 2, the ruler of the kingdom of this air. 1 Peter 5 and 8, the roaring lion. Revelation 12 and 10, the accuser of the brother. Those are the names, praise God, that you can look up that represent the devil himself. But these names and titles, we learned that Satan is powerful. He's a powerful spirit who resides, listen to me, people. I want you to hear this real well. So when you're praying, don't make your prayer ineffective by sending him to the pit. Know what to send him if you got the power to do that. You send him to the princes into outer darkness or into the air. Not into the pit. Ha! Jesus, go to the pit of hell. What are you telling him to go? You don't have the authority to send him there. But you do have the authority to speak it to him and send him to the reside, because he resides in the air and he rules over our present world. Now, is he in a pit? He has freedom to move where he wants to go. This purpose is to deceive and trap and destroy us. Through his name, we can answer the question, who is Satan and what is he like? That's the next question. Since God is the creator of all things, in John 1, 3, Colossians 1, 6, and 17, God created the beginning, being who became Satan. He wasn't Satan at first. Because God is holy and righteous, he cannot create anything evil. Did you hear what I just said? He was not the devil at first. He was an angel of God. He was one of God's men, God's soldiers. God, he was one of his. And originally, God created the human race. He created him. He created him, but not as the devil himself. He created the human race in his own image. But when Adam exercised his freedom, his free will, he fell into sin, taking the entire race with him. We was not born in sin, sweetie. We was born to live forever and never die. But when sin came in, see, one man can destroy everything. See, you can destroy your family. You can destroy your children. Sin works through generations. And he fell into sin, taking the entire race, me, you, everybody, even right now, when your kids are born, the Bible says, we were born shaped in iniquity and sin that our father and mother conceived by. Satan's like man was also created with the freedom of choice. Choice. God did not create Satan as we know him today, but as an angel of great power, wisdom, and ability. Many believe he was the archangel. They believe that, but this is what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. And you who once laid, now laid low the nation. And he threw them out. He kicked them down on earth. The name morning star means, in Hebrew, means he laid. He translated Satan as Lucifer in King James and the New King James. Satan was a member of the order of the angels called the cherubims in Ezekiel 28 and 14, which is the powerful guardian angels of God. He was already in heaven, people. No one thing I say to you today, we're going to continue this, praise God, but the devil wants to destroy you. You need to get in the word of God for yourself. Learn what the Bible is saying. Do not take everything somebody gives to you. It's okay. You must know it for yourself. Know the word of God. Know what the word says. That's what I'm saying. When Jesus left, he left you a will, sweetie. And in the will, if you never read what was left in the will, you never know what you have that you can use that belongs to you. Know what the word of God speaks. The devil wants to destroy you. But let us continue, praise God. We're going to keep journeying into the spirit world because there is more to come. There is more to come, praise God, into the spirit world. Because we're going to continue, praise God. This right here, praise God, coming up, praise God. later on, praise God, either Monday, we'll be talking about the spirit that wants to destroy you. And that is the spirit of the what? Of the devil himself. Praise God. God, I thank you, praise God, for your word today. The five Bible says, speak it plain. Speak it plain, praise God. Make it plain, praise God. Speak that which is edified for the hearers and the listeners. And God, I pray your word was urgent to be heard today. Bless those once again, God, and save those that not know you that have came on to listen to the word, didn't come before his answers. The invitation has been given once again. And Father God, I give you, saying, come to Jesus just as you are. And he in no wise cast you out. Remember, praise God, he said, if you confess with your heart, mouth, and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. You can have your salvation today. I say, be blessed. And may allow the God to continue to bless you and yours. Stay in God. If you're not in God, get in God. Because these things are temporal, and they shall all pass away. Remember, the devil wants to destroy you. You be blessed, and have a great day. Goodbye.